CliffCentral.com.
All right, good morning, everybody. Monday, and you made it to another week. And there she is in all her glory, the marvelous, magnificent Tumi Morake. How you, Tooms?
Hello. I'm good. How you, Jared?
Oh, it's so nice to see you. This is my December present.
Are you gifting yourself a... Am I the gift? OMG.
You're my December present. This is how I know that this month is going to be off to a good start.
Should I put myself in a bowl?
Oh, well, no. I see like a purple string of lights behind you there. That's festive enough. So how are you? I mean, I haven't spoken to you for a little while. We haven't had you on the show for a little bit. Things good?
Yeah. Things are great. I am tired. But things are fantastic. Mm. Like, you know, we're saying goodbye to 2022. I feel like this year flew by. I feel like the year's going, can I leave before I make too much of a mess?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know when your predecessors have been a mess and you're like, I don't want to stay long enough to do what those guys did. So I love the 2022. It's like, I want an honorable bow out, you know?
I also think that this year is just, like, we're still not back to normal, right? Because I feel like a lot of people are still stuck in this, like, haze. It's almost as if they're just coming around now. And I had a very, very cool weekend in Cape Town. A friend of mine had this big party on Saturday and invited people. And one of his friends even came from Germany for this thing. And,
sure.
Yeah, it was really nice to spend, you know, time around people who, I mean, you can see people have worked hard this year. And there's been, it's been harder than ever to get R1 out of people. You know about this. So you have to put in the hours. You have to slog. But, man, when you get to December, it's worth it, eh? Hmm.
Friend. I must say, the people I feel for are the people in insurance, man. Because I've been going like, so insurance did the honest thing, which is what they're supposed to do, right? Which is pay out. And now they're like, we're struggling to get back up. I'm like, oh, so your business model was actually dependent on us not claiming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's been interesting. But I've been like, you know,
I don't, yes, did you yeah, just, yeah, hold on. You can't be sorry for the insurance companies.
I'm not saying I feel sorry for them.
No.
I'm saying I find it funny that they're hardest hit for doing what their business is. It's like you did what your business is supposed to do. That's supposed to be good for you.
Right.
Instead you're going, hey, it's rough, eh? We actually paid out.
And you can tell it's rough too, because you're getting more of those calls than ever. Hi, good morning. I'm calling you from whatever it is, insurance company. Do you have a moment for me? And I'm like, no.
Like, do you need insurance? No, I'm fine. My whole family's covered. Does your daughter have dolls? Do they need insurance? I'm like, no, they're fine.
Oh, no, but it just...
No, I was going to say, speaking of insurance, I don't know, this is an old story, but I am curious if you ever heard about it, around insurance, that the lady in Missouri who got $5.2 million, she won $5.2 million for contracting HPV in a car. So she sued that, she went to car insurance and she was like, I mean, this is injury and it's accidental damage to my person because now I have HPV. Which are contracted in your car. And then the insurance company was like, you're crazy. Then she took them to court.
Uh-huh.
And then court was like, no, she is not. She is making perfect sense. Give her $5.2 million for past and future injuries, for past and future health and mental damages. You don't understand.
Hang on a second. She got HPV from the car.
She hanky-pankied in the car with this guy. Né? So... Okay. Yeah, they steamed up the car, and then now I'm like, if I was the car, I'd be so bad because I'd be like, what does this have to do with me? What? How is this my fault? But yeah,
I was
$2 million, bro.
I was talking to some friends yesterday, and they do weddings, so they've got this wedding venue, and they do these weddings. And this one girl, and I think her boyfriend, they walk into the office the day after the wedding, and like she's got. Like crusty blood and like teeth missing and shit, and the boyfriend is like, we slipped and fell on your unsafe paving stones outside your house, and I have to, now you're going to have to pay us like a lot of money. So the guy goes, just hold on 1 second, because they'd been warned about these people, right? So they go, all right, would you just come in and have a look in the office here? Guy's like, no, I don't want to see any. You're going to have to sort this out now. They're like, no. Just come and sit down, please. Can we give you coffee? No, I don't want coffee. What is it you want me to see? So they play him a little highlights reel of his girlfriend at the wedding the day before. She arrives and she starts hitting the gin and tonics. But like, by the time the reception starts serving the food, she's already on like 18 gin and tonics, right? And she's been having shots with all her besties at the bar. And she's like a proper mess. But this is before the wedding's even over. And they're like, so tell us again how this is our fault. And he's like, okay. I wonder how much of that insurance fraud stuff happens in this country. Because I'm sure there's a lot of it. You know, where people are like, no, these people broke in. You know, like Oscar Pistorius, yeah. The guy with the ladder, and he's the one who actually shot Reva. Remember that bullshit story? Like, I wonder how many people will try just to get a replacement TV or something, and they'll make up some story.
But you know, South Africa, we're on point. Eh?
Hmm?
Insurance doesn't play. We're on Mm-mm. point. Our people, like, we can't find. Listen, if you kill somebody, you can get away with it. But try and click insurance, my friend. Right. Never. You will sooner get away with murder than get away with trying to report insurance in this country. These guys don't play. It's like, even when you have a car accident, the first thing they check is what time was the accident. That determines.
You're right.
How much they're gonna look into your claim or not? You know what I mean? Like, they don't play here. Mm-mm. Even with cell phones, like South Africa. No, me, I respect SAFA.
You know. I in these estates, you know, everybody lives in these either complexes, gated communities, estates, whatever it is. And the thing that's been happening is like you'll get one, you know, batch of like really terrible people who pull into an estate, and their whole thing is they're going to rent a house there so they can steal. So they'll come in and they'll set it up to look like, or they'll run a pro. I've heard stories about some of these really, really smart estates where there's one of the houses and there's prostitutes in the house. I promise you, I'm not making this up.
They must be.
And
but are these prostitutes who are just cohabiting, or is this like prostitutes working? Like the
brothel? No, it's like a brothel inside the estate. So I've heard this. This was just, 3 months ago from a friend of mine. I've never heard of this estate before, and I'm not going to mention it just in case it's like true and then I'm pulled into some case or God knows what. But apparently this one dude was running not a massive operation, but he had like 3 girls working there. And most of the business was coming from inside the estate. Because, you know, when you...
That's genius.
It's actually so clever. And then there's another dude who was apparently like robbing all the other houses in the estate. And they eventually found him on cameras and whatever. So, you know, you get away with it again. Like, the insurance are going to find you, not the police. And this guy was like, you know, pretending to rent this house because his parents were overseas or whatever. It's this young kid, like 25 or whatever. And he was, meanwhile, this was his operation. He was like running. As he would see people leaving the estate, then he'd go to their house and go and see what he could steal there. So a lot of this stuff,
that is,
it's clever, right? But I mean, it just shows you how crooked and how crazy and how like inventive and ingenious some people are. Because let's give credit where it's due. I've never thought of that.
But also they invest in their theft. Because, you know, we've just always thought someone comes empty-handed and fills up.
Yeah.
But this guy's like, no, I'm going to put down a deposit towards this robbery. Like, I make a return on this investment.
That's unbelievable.
I like it.
And I mean, if it wasn't for the insurance, we'd probably never find out, right?
Right. You know, I think this is the problem with us in South Africa. Too many of us can afford insurance. So we're starting to normalize crime. We're now starting to normalize crime. We're just measuring the degree of the crime and then going, but at least, no, insurance has got it. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I feel like we started to... accommodate crime in our lives. I guess we don't have a choice. So
yeah,
it's tricky. It's tricky. It's like, so are we going to be more motivated to solve it if we find a way around it? I don't know.
Well, a lot of people up early this morning to join us. Here's Pablo Mahosi, who says good morning. Here's Vyasin saying good morning, everybody. Francis saying good morning. So Dumi was telling me about this this video that's been doing the rounds of some like woman. They call her a Karen in the article, which I saw just a second ago. And apparently this woman is like having a proper strop about like this bunch of guys having a braai or something in Cape Town. So I'm going to play this for you quickly. It's only a minute long. And then we'll explain what happened if you're not watching, if you're listening to the podcast. And then you get some idea of what's going on here. And we can, because we've got to talk about this. There's crazy shit going on. All right. Look at this.
I don't care. Go to fucking McDonald's. I have been up at 3 a.m. We have been putting it right. We all were. What is that? We were here again putting out the violence. I am sorry. What is that?
Calm down.
You don't
storm up here.
No, excuse me. I've been up at 3, sir. I am your maid.
I know you will be maid. I've got it under control.
I don't care. This stuff, win this win. Are you guys nuts?
No, we're not. We're 5 seats on the standby ready.
I don't care. That's an insult. We were up at 3 a.m.
Property as well.
I don't care.
You're going to write to
me. I will be happy. Well, you can come over and put the fire out at my house.
No problem.
Because we were right up there at 3 a.m. when your place went over in there. We were all here. But you've got to be nuts.
Thank you.
All right. I will call the police.
Fine. No problem.
Should have been called yesterday. No, that's ridiculous, people. Get real.
So I don't know. I'm sorry about the video. It's like it's meant to be in landscape, but it was in portrait. Anyway, this woman seems to be like on a mission to explain how she was up at 3 a.m. Turns out all these people were doing is on their own private property, on their own, at their own house. They were having a braai.
But she says their flames were entering her yard. But here's what I don't understand.
Mm.
You drove to these people. You drove to these neighbors of yours.
Mm.
How were you getting to the flames? Wait, how big was these people's braai? Also, were they like doing a world record breaking braai? Because if you drove to them and you're telling me you drove at 3 to switch off their braai fire because of the... Hey, Karen, no.
Do you know...
But also...
there's some people... But like, listen to how angry she was. Now, she didn't explain... until right like 40 seconds in that it was because she was worried about the fire. But like all she's telling you is like, I was up at 3 a.m. People live in their own worlds and they think everybody else just must understand what's going on in their heads. This is insane. Does this woman know, how long has she been in South Africa that she doesn't know what a braai is? And second of all, like you say, how big must this fire have been? Or how much craziness is going on in her head that she thinks that this thing was a threat to her?
She left her house for her and her. She says her husband to go and put out the flames.
Mm.
I'm like, maybe she's also she could be from California. Isn't it where the crazy fires happen? When like a fire starts and it's just it feels like the wrath of somebody's ancestors.
Oh,
so maybe that's, I don't know, but she is touched. My favorite is go to McDonald's, friend. And also, yeah. I love that freaky dude. Like, shame, sorry to name you, but I have to give you a name.
Yeah.
But I love him. He's got that calmness that I love. You know that thing?
Yes, that ma'am, this is private property. Please, ma'am, this is private property.
Yeah, he's like, you know, and I've always, I must say, I've always enjoyed that about Afrikaans culture. Like, the dudes, when they're dealing with the women, in my experience, anyway, I've always found that there's a... there's a reverence and a respect for women. If there's an oma, there's an auntie, and if you're a lady, you don't get the aggression they will give a dude. Like, I think if she had been a dude, it could have ended a little bit differently.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it would have started with a bit of a friend and then turned. But because it's a lady, they're going, you know, there's not very much we can do with you, and you are also not making sense right now. Just walk away, man. Rather walk away.
But isn't it also true that the whole the way people interact now has become completely different thanks to the phone, because you know someone is recording something. So every time you're going to have an altercation with anyone, and I don't think she realized that the woman who was screaming at these people, because someone was recording it, and I can guarantee you anytime anything crazy starts happening, you just see people, they reach for their phones, they're like, and they start watching like this and recording. Now, I wonder how in like 100 to 200 years time, when this has become the way that people, if the actual human behavior will get better or worse because of the phones. Because these days people are capturing everything, right? So I would be a lot more nervous to lose my shit than I would have when there weren't camera phones around. And luckily, Tumi, you and I grew up at a time when like there weren't people filming everything all the time. So there used to be this show called America's Funniest Home Videos. Do you remember watching that?
I remember that with Bob Saget, yeah.
Yeah, and then these were the rare occasions where people would like capture their kids falling and like, you know, whatever it was. And it was like funny and sweet. And occasionally there'd be a fight of, you know, of someone getting drunk and doing something stupid. But these days, like America's Funniest Home Videos is every single day on TikTok, right? So it's no longer a thing, which is rare. And if you want to see people embarrassing themselves, you could just go on social media now. But there's a lot less, I feel, of that stuff because people know someone somewhere is recording this.
I disagree. I think people have desensitized a little bit from the fact.
Looks like Dumi's just had a power failure there as well. Load shedding. Let me just see. Leanne is going to join us too, but she's also in load shedding at the moment. So it seems like I'm the only house in South Africa that's got a little bit of power right now. I'm going to let Tumi out and bring her back in just now. Mapelo says, I love it when she says, get real. Oh, people say funny things when they cross hair. It's so funny. Her throat must hurt after that tirade. And Billy says quite rightly as well, everyone is a videographer these days. Well, that's also true. It was always Russians getting drunk and falling or fighting. Yeah. Russians are still always falling and fighting and getting drunk. I mean, have you seen what those people drink? You know, they make their own stuff in the back garden, right? They like bury a thing with, I don't know, you know, old bits of like horse hoof and lizards and God knows what. And they let it ferment there in the garden for a long time. And they make a vodka of their own, put potatoes and shit in there as well. But Russians still are the most dangerous people when they're drunk because they drink dangerous stuff. It's like gasoline. Was that load shedding that just started happening?
That was. Can you see now? I'm in like romantic light.
I like this. Man. It looks even better somehow.
Yeah, man, the generator was a bit starach. Yeah, I just thought it like goes out and comes back, and you know, I mean, first world mind.
Sorry, so you were busy saying to me, no, it's not true. You think there's more of that shit going on, not less.
Yes, it's like when you watch a Big Brother and stuff, right?
Mm.
For the first week, maybe they're so aware that they are that they're on camera, and then they forget.
Yep.
Then they become something else. It's like reality TV. At some point, they forget. So I think that's what we do. Also, behavior won't get better because the minute I know I can't be seen, you know the way she was screaming, I was like, this is one of those people who for every post will answer with a long, angry thread, you know? And all somebody said was, beef is better than pork. And then they will leave, you know? She's that type. The way she's screaming, I'm like, I know this one.
Look, I used to be one of those people in the beginning of Facebook who, especially because it was small in the beginning, it was like you and maybe 200 of your friends. And they were actually people you knew. And I would be like, someone would post something and say like, oh, you know, isn't it terrible what the ANC are doing in, you know, in Ekurhuleni? And I'd be like, well, let's look at this. Let's talk about this a little bit, blah, blah, blah. I'd find some article and then reference. Now, to get me to do anything but just like something, even if you're a really good friend of mine, let's say you're a friend and you post something like you're celebrating your 15th wedding anniversary with your husband or wife, then I'm like, but I'm not going to go on there and make too much noise because these days it's exhausting. So
no, everything's a problem.
Less is more, man. But now I don't know what will get a reaction out of me anymore. I mean, you really have to work extra hard, and not because I'm like smart or anything. I've just become very it takes a lot now to get a reaction out of me. Where before,
right.
I think I've just built, like, you know how you build up that thick skin?
Yes.
That's what's happened.
Yeah, but you've also taken, like, punches. That's why. And then at some point, you're like, actually, these punches are not changing the price of bread in my life.
No.
And by the time you notice that, your skin was so thick. You right. know what I mean? I don't know. It's there's an addiction to outrage porn. There's outrage porn that people cannot resist when it comes to, especially Twitter. Like, I feel like of all social media spaces, I find Twitter very toxic. And it's hilarious because as soon as our boy Elon Musk took over and everybody was like, I'm leaving. Most of the people said they weren't leaving. First of all, you tweeted that you're leaving on the very platform you said you're leaving. And then you waited to see how everybody reacts to the fact that you said you're leaving.
Right.
So, like, everybody's yeah. having their own damn supply. And then you check; those people are still on the damn thing, you know, and they're still coming to check if anybody.
It's like those. It's like those couples who break up, but then he drives past her house every day to see what's happening.
At least he actually left. I don't know.
Well,
we're very strange creatures.
We are.
But I think it's because everybody. Honestly, I think what's happening with all of this, like, everyone's watching you and everybody's ready to cancel you. I feel like everyone who's ever been bullied is coming back. But it's not like they're back for vindication. I don't think they realize it's like when the victim becomes the villain. Because now they're bullying everyone into silence because of whatever hurt them when somebody else said some stuff to them.
Yeah,
it's exhausting.
I want to get one of those little those dolls. That, you know, like the old rag dolls that the kids used to play with when we were children.
Not a voodoo one.
Huh? Not a voodoo one. No, but I want to take it and I want to hold it up for people like that. Every time they start down one of those, like, victim becomes the victimizer thing. Hold up the doll and just say to them, show me where on the doll the bad man touched you. And then we move forward from there. And then they can realize, like, this is not the place to do your amateur psychology. You know? Anyway.
This is true.
Have you got plans for the holidays? Are you going away or are you going to be working the whole way through?
Okay, so I work really, really hard December right up until the 16th. That's been my rule for the past few years since my kids got a little bit older. And I was just like, okay, I need to spend time with the family. What I have realized, though, is it's December holidays are my worst. That is my least amount of rest because when you go on holiday with kids, you're not going on holiday. Mm-mm. They're going on holiday. You're going to be a butler and a policeman and a security and health control. You're not going on holiday, you know? So I'm really looking forward to my kids getting older. Like, I feel like all I'm doing is going time, age these children. Because I want a real family holiday where we all arrive at a place and we're like, we'll see each other at dinner.
So you need a holiday after the holiday?
Always, without fail.
Yeah, it's like we've.
That's when I.
Mm-hmm. No, we've played on the show a couple of times the idea of, like, we should do a 4-day working week. But you know what would happen is people would just party until, because, you know, like, if you go to certain places, there's parties on a Sunday, and I've never understood this.
Yeah.
People like to have a full go on a Sunday, and I think, I don't mind a Friday. I don't mind a Friday and a Saturday if it's December. But yes, it's a Sunday as well. Then you have to feel like shit on the Monday morning. Mm-mm, not for me.
Yeah, but isn't it you're not going to an interview? You're going to work. You've already secured it. You don't need to be fully present.
I understand. I understand the thinking. But I reckon
Monday was invented for recovery.
If we got 3-day weekends, people would also fill up the third day as well with, like, puzza and socializing and all that shit. It wouldn't be like you'd use the... Because what you're talking about now with December is after the holiday, the family holiday with the children, which you say is rightly, it's exhausting for you. Like, you need a couple of days to, like... Otherwise, you don't really feel like you've had a holiday at all. Now, I'm saying if we did that every week, if we gave everybody a little weekend after the weekend, they would just use it like they use the normal weekend and there'd be no improvements.
That's true. Maybe, or the idea of it is why they'd be better, because they'd be like, yeah, but I got extra, I can't complain, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, I think unofficially we all know Monday is a recovery day, but then I don't have a 9-to-5, so I don't know, but I just know Monday is my recovery day. Even when I did have a 9-to-5, actually, I was like, I know Monday is not my most productive day, but call me on Tuesday.
I'm the opposite. I like to get stuck in and do like 90% of my week's work on a Monday. And whatever's left that I don't do on a Monday, I get done on the Tuesday. And then from Wednesday on, like whatever comes, I'm ready for. I've like got a clean inbox. I'm ready to take on extra stuff. I'll organize the next week's meetings. And no, Monday morning, I want to just get shit done. Nothing worse for me than a slow start to the week. Ugh.
See, that's why you have the big bucks, my friend. This is exactly why.
Eh? I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's not by accident.
I don't know about that. Well, speaking about the big bucks and pala-pala, I mean, this is all anyone's talking about at the moment is, and Carl says, Gareth, is Cyril resigning or not? Either way, I don't care. The ANC only has 18 months left. Well, I've heard so many stories this weekend from different sources I have about how he has resigned. Some people saying he's never going to resign. But this is just such a bad state of affairs. Like, you know, we're all trying to relax and go into the end of the year. And these fucking politicians are like driving our stress levels up.
Yeah. See, you know what I hate? Is those guys, like a couple that has a fight and then they must involve all of us.
Yeah.
I feel like ANC has their little squabbles and going like, we'll show you. And then as a country, we're going, please don't make us part of your mess. So we are just the guys who become part of the mess. Then we get worked up and discuss and have all these endless arguments and discussions. Meanwhile, they know how they're going to do this thing themselves. So why are we here? Let's just watch the movie and see how it ends. That's my honest opinion. Let's just see how this movie ends. Because from the minute I was hearing that an intelligent businessman is banking in a matras, I was like, you guys are playing games. Guys are playing serious games with us here. I mean, I don't have time for this nonsense. Having followed it up, well, don't have any facts about figures. I was just like, now you're just taking us for monkeys. I'm not getting involved in this conversation. Also, because when it comes to succession and that party, I feel like nothing is circumstantial. Nothing is sudden. Nothing is a new discovery that is now being dealt with. It's just people flexing on each other because there is about to be a shift in power within that place, and then we must all be caught up in it. I personally, like the guy who says he's giving them 18 months, I am really praying this country gets to a coalition government quickly, because we don't have time for this nonsense. We really don't.
Yeah. Rebellious Ruth says that apparently Paul O'Sullivan had an interview with Alec Hogg, and they reckon that they're trying to blackmail Cyril. Ugh. I said this on Friday, and it didn't go down too well with the people who listen to this show, so I'm in trouble at the moment. But I've decided for my peace of mind in December, based exactly on what you've just said to me, which is why I was laughing so much, because it's true. I don't want this stuff to ruin my year. And there's been enough of this shit this year. I would like actually to enjoy my December, and I'm not going to let these clowns make it worse. So I think we've just lost Dumi. But I'm going to have a good time. I'm not going to let this thing get to me. So my only take on this is to say that the latest news, and I'll read the story that we've got for you for this morning. Apparently, this is from Sky News, international news. So they say South Africa's Cyril Ramaphosa will not resign after the Farmgate scandal. The head of state has come under pressure to quit of accusations that he stashed millions of dollars in sofas at his private ranch and then covered up its theft. I like the way that, you know, we have to use the American term ranch. He's got a ranch, a private ranch. Anyway, the head of state, who is currently in the UK on a visit, has come under pressure to quit after accusations that he stashed millions in a sofa on his private game farm and then covered up the theft. An independent parliamentary inquiry found Ramaphosa may have breached anti-corruption laws, but his spokesman insisted he would not step down, claiming support from allies. Who knows? That's the only news I have here. That's from Sky. There is another story about the presidency refuting claims that he abandoned Friday's NEC meeting, because apparently Cyril wasn't there at all. And this comes from Eyewitness News. So they say, the president didn't snub his party, but stayed away as agreed upon with Acting Secretary General Paul Mashatile. So, Mashatile himself told...
So they agreed together without telling everybody else.
Yeah. Well, this is how it works. Like you said, they flex on each other because they're now jockeying for position. Mashatile himself told journalists following a quick adjournment of the special meeting at NASREC that Ramaphosa had not formally consulted with the organization, but was instead speaking to stakeholders. outside.
So stakeholders for me again.
Stakeholders. You know that's how you meant to say it, right?
Yes, that's how you killed me. Everything was smoother. Just stakeholders. You know, the minute they say stakeholders, I also feel like they're going stay in your lane. You know, when they say stakeholders, they're going, this is the part where your opinion doesn't matter. Like, that's... Every time I hear stakeholders, I'm like, well, that's rude. Okay, I'll sit back then.
Yeah, you're not in this club. Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm not in this club. Like...
Yeah, Carl says,
I love this country.
I know. Carl says, I agree with Dumi. They're making us a puss.
Hey, Carl, how did you know? You know, I want to, it was right on the tip of my tongue. I didn't want to use that. Thank you, Carlos, for airing that red for me.
Billy says, I always find cash and M&Ms in my sofa.
And you probably get a better interest rate also from your couch if you put 5.6 million. Hey, have you seen what's happening?
How often do you actually pick up those cushions on your sofa and like clean under there? Because I don't often, and then I will also find like M&Ms or an old Simba chip or like something that's been there for a long ass time, and you're like, but I'm a pretty clean person. How did that get there? It's amazing what shit will gather in a sofa. But there's a difference between what will gather in a sofa on its own and what you're actually putting in. Remember, this is the funny thing about that whole Cyril story is they apparently took out the stuffing because there was so much money. They took out the stuffing and put the cash in. That's how much there was.
That the thing was still solid with that as cash.
And people were
But it's rants, eh? It's rants. So it can't really have a need. Rants, you need a lot of them nowadays to make a difference. So it must be.
Was it rant or was it dollars?
Was it dollars?
I don't know. I somehow recall something about dollars, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Was it dollars?
Yeah. I think it was dollars.
If it was dollars, I'm very impressed. Me, I thought it was a mattress, not a sofa. So I was like, oof. Mr. President, how have you been sleeping?
Like, well, you know, they say...
That's not the kind of thing.
They say, well, you know, I'll sleep very well on my pillow full of money, but I don't think it's actually very comfortable.
You are hearing khwasha, khwasha, khwasha in between your dreams. I would not be comfortable at all. But in a matter, I'm thinking, hey, Cyril is the princess and the pea. He goes to bed, he can feel there's a rent missing, and he's like, who took out my dog? Like, you just realize this mattress is feeling a little bit $100 short, you know?
Yeah. Steve says all he finds in a sofa is dog biscuits. Oh, I'm sorry. That's terrible.
Hey, but this thing of hiding things, because, you know, my kids have phones for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. And there's one that disappeared months ago, right? Months ago. And then we were renovating. And this is in the U.S. And we moved the couch. And there's the phone.
It's been there the whole
These
time.
These little nonsenses. Because every evening they have to submit their devices, right? Because we need them to sleep. Mm-hmm. These little nonsenses have been hiding this thing in the couch. And we forget about it. Right? Because it's an old phone. So that's how that... So then they forgot that's their hiding place. Because my son saw it, and he had look on his face.
You figured it out.
And I'm angry because now I'm gonna, and I'm gonna replace this thing. I thought we lost it on a flight, yo. So yeah, maybe he'd even forgotten it was there and goes, yeah, man, I always knew I had an extra 1.6 million somewhere, man.
Exactly.
I forgot, man.
I mean, I've sometimes put on a jacket for the first time in a long time, and I'm like, there's 50 rand. I mean, it's the best. It's not like Cyril's level of like millions, but for me, finding an extra 50 rand is like, yo, that's quite nice. I didn't know I had that. That's good shit.
It's like McDonald's and they went to private school. Because you know that, that when the guy finds all the coins under the couch and then he can go and buy himself a happy meal.
Yeah.
Now it's like it's really like I can go and buy myself the whole chain again.
Well, exactly. And he did once own the whole chain. That's the funny thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay, so you aren't doing a big holiday. You're going to just try and keep yourself relaxed here. I mean, I'm not going away. I think I've got 1 week at the end of the year where I've got to go to a wedding and I've got New Year. That's all. Other than that, I'm at home. Yeah. I'm at home because that's where I relax.
We've come out of a panoramic. So there are people who they go wild. They're like, yeah, it's our first open time of the panoramic. We're going all the way, pulse to the wall. Mm. And they go, don't go pulse to the wall. Financially, that makes zero sense. So for me, I think because, you know, we're trying to settle into the U.S. and the dollar is what it is, I would love to go out, but I can't afford to go out. So I'll probably go out next year to celebrate that I am still there.
Mm.
Because, yo, I feel like every other day that I'm there, I'm going, why am I here? I have a whole home there.
Yeah.
Why am I here? You know? Because we're like, yo, at least you have left, Shani, you know, the country to me. To me, be glad you left. The country is going to get. Be glad you left. No, friend. We are the most functioning, dysfunctional country I've ever been in. I love this country to death. You know, we really underestimate how much we get done in this country. We really underestimate how much we, the citizens, keep this place going. Like, we need to give ourselves props.
I'm so glad you're saying this because it's something that comes up often. You know, people are like, oh, well, the grass is greener. And we've spoken to people who are very happily living overseas, and we've spoken to people who are very unhappily living overseas, and people who want to come back and have come back. And, you know, it's an ongoing debate because I think South Africa's got this, like with so many other things about us, we've got this insecurity complex about ourselves. But you are so right. And having experienced it now, the best and the worst, having, you know, you have to work your backside off to earn a dollar in America, but you also have to work your backside off to earn a rand in South Africa. But there's something about this place that you just know, like, no matter how much they say it's going to go to shit, there's still going to be people who make it work. Somehow, in spite of ourselves, we get things to work.
As long as there's Africans, even the way we are divided on so many things, when it's time to fix something, when it's time to come together, we are there.
Mm.
And I love that about us. It's the thing that makes me go, I don't care where you live in the world, you can never disconnect from this place.
That's very special.
You can never disconnect from South Africa, right? It's an incredible place to be. You know what I mean?
So let me fill you with hope this morning. Tyron says, I once hid $500 in a tin of coffee, but also stopped drinking coffee. I found it about 3 years later. It was the best day ever. Yo, that's nice.
And it was worth even more.
Mm, absolutely.
Except now I know, guys, if I break into a white person's house, I'm going first to the coffee. I'm going to your coffee machines. I never thought. I'm banking this one. Yeah.
Right.
When I move into that complex, now I know. Next door, the coffee.
Wendy says, yes, Dumi, I love us. Been to Germany twice this year, and while everything is so operational there, we have soul here.
Amen. Hmm. We have soul. That's the thing. We even across the board have Ubuntu. It's actually ingrained in us.
Hmm.
We are actually across the board. We have such heart. Yo, South Africans have heart. Even the crappy little ones who I tend to encounter overseas, in spite of themselves,
the grumpy ones
still come with heart. Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about this just a little bit earlier on with regard to Twitter, but Elon Musk has just vowed that he is going to get into the interface implants in human brains within 6 months. I don't know if I'm excited about this, but let's just hear the story and then we can decide whether or not we would sign up. But he's got this business called Neuralink, right? And one of his companies would, in 6 months, he says, be able to implant a device in a human brain that would allow the brain and a computer to communicate directly. I mean, that is quite something. I think Dumi's just frozen again. Maybe her Neuralink connection just died out. He says, we've submitted, I think, most of our paperwork to the FDA, And we think probably in about 6 months, we should be able to have our first Neuralink in a human. We've been working hard to ready our first human implant. And obviously, we want to be extremely careful and certain that it will work well before we put any device inside a human. So I don't know. Are you one of those people? Because, I mean, the best, let's say the far end of like fantasy of what this could be is it could allow you to, you know, instantly have like Wikipedia connected to your brain. You'd know more than any other living human being. You could look up anything. You can't remember that word. You'd be Googling it before you'd have to type it into your phone. Or you'd be able to like upload whole languages or engineering manuals or whatever it is that you want to know. And that's the positive side. The negative side is obviously that we still haven't figured, and I don't think Neuralink have either, how organic brain matter is going to communicate well with computer microchips. But if he's figuring these things out, I'm not going to be at the front of the queue, but I'm curious to see what happens. Like, I don't know who the first person is going to be to do this, but it's not going to be me.
Gareth, the idea of me driving, walking, jogging, minding my own business, having a conversation at dinner, and then I can never believe what Mr. Zwick did for me. 500,000 in my bank account. It really works. Forex underscore what. That will be happening to me as I'm sitting chilling, minding my own business. Have you tried being online for anything? Are we Bitcoin, what coin, Forex traders? No. It gives me nothing.
Imagine you're just sitting there. You're sitting there talking to your friends, and suddenly you go like, get this glazed look, and you're like, if you haven't invested yet in this new trade exchange, you need to start doing this today. I want to say a big thank you to Miss Murake for making me a billionaire. All your friends are like, oh shit, his Neuralink is like been hacked.
I'm sorry. These bots are too fast. Mm-hmm. I don't want miss me with that. Because technically, this chip is already there. It's just not physical. We are attached. I'm attached to my phone. I'm never disconnected from, you know.
And also, world. Like, we know what people will do. It's fine for us to say, hey, you'll upload a language package, which, I mean, maybe that's a thing I would do because I'm fascinated by language and I'd love to be able to speak like 20 different languages, like really fluently. But we know what people are really going to do. If you have the internet hooked up to your head the whole time, you know what people are going to do, right? It's going to be porn. It's going to be gambling. It's going to be bad. It's going to be, they're not going to use it for good things. Who do we think we're dealing with here?
Putting porn under bad things.
Well, let's just be honest about this. People are going to spend their... You'll see someone at the braai where that woman lost her shit earlier. You're going to see someone sitting at the braai and then suddenly they're going to be like... and their eyes are going to cross. And you're going to be like, oh, God. Someone hit Sean, please. He's back on the... He's obviously on Pornhub. He was bored with our conversation, started going straight to Pornhub. I'm telling you.
I love the cutting face.
Eyes will cross. They'll start to drool. Can you imagine? It's going to be such a mess. We're such monkeys. We really are.
That is hilarious. that's funny. But no, miss me.
This is definitely the sort of thing. In fact, this is what this metaphor was made for, where you wait for at least 100,000 other people to try it out and successfully have some amazing application for it before you even think about it. Plus, it's going to be really expensive in the beginning. And then if it actually works, like 20 years from now, you could buy it cheap. It's like, you know, the cost of TVs or computers. They've come down and down and down because they've become cheaper to make. So
the 4-in-1 scams. Imagine the 4-in-1 scams that are going to come out of anything. Then you won't be sure if that was your actual bank or that was someone accessing your chip.
You won't know.
All your funds are gone. You won't know.
Yonder says, Neuralink is an interface to assist us to have bigger capacity in doing things. It's also going to assist people with disabilities to have their senses back. It's not plug and play like a PC. Well, again,
that makes sense.
But Yonder, even so, it's going to take a long time for them to get it right. a long time, and I'm not going to be first in that queue.
Yeah, but also then we have to be extra protective of the people who are living with disabilities, because then I feel like just in the name of that this could change their lives, we go and do dangerous experiments on them. Mm. I am actually even extra uncomfortable. That feels very immoral.
It's because it is immoral on every level, right? Well, we've got Dr. Hanan joining us in just a moment or two for It's Going to Be Okay. He's a renowned psychologist, head of the Anxiety and Trauma Clinic in Johannesburg, and we speak to him every Monday because people need like the head doctor on a Monday first thing. And we'll be talking to him, and you've got some questions for him as well, haven't you?
Got a couple of questions, yes.
All right, well, we'll get into that just now. As long as, Ricky says, as long as this Neuralink doesn't end up and we buy it at a Pakistani store for 25% of the price. Can you imagine? You're like, I can't afford the big Neuralink. I'm just going to go to the Pakistani store on the corner and rather get the cheaper one. You know, like the feature phone.
Now we know where Ricky's getting the Christmas presents. Huh?
Hey, listen, that's a secret that when you find one of those China malls, especially for the little kids in the family, you go there, you can find lots of cool stuff. I mean, it probably won't last more than 2 days after Christmas, but for that 2 days, they're going to have the best time ever. All right, let's turn our attention to Dr. Hanan. Hey, Doc, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good. It's nice to see you. And Dumi's very excited to see you too. So let's get straight into it. Dums, you have a private session with a psychologist, and we all get to be eyewitness to this. So go ahead. What's your story?
So my question is just since the pandemic, we've all spent so much time with our spouses. And I was just curious, is there a nice way to ask your partner for space without sounding like they've done anything wrong? Like, is there a nice way of not starting tension in the relationship, but ask for space?
Yes, for sure. So I'll give you a little bit of background. I always like to give context before I give advice, because the moment you understand why you do the things that you do, you can replicate it. So if I tell you, do this, do that without giving you context, then the next time something comes up, then you won't know what to do because you don't have the mechanics of why you're doing what you're doing. So every relationship works because we fulfill each other's needs. We call it need bidding. So we constantly are asking for our needs to be fulfilled. And our needs change all the time. So today I need water for my partner. Tomorrow I need food. The next day I need shelter. The next day I need oxygen. And the problem comes up is, one, when I don't communicate my needs at all, and I expect my partner to guess what I need, and obviously they get it wrong. Or two, I speak in general terms. So a lot of mistakes are made in terms of communication where partners speak in generalities. So for example, if my wife turns to me and says to me, Hanan, I need more love. My answer to my wife would be, well, no problem. But what does it mean? Because love to her is very different to love to me. And if I try to satisfy her need in terms of love, according to what I understand, I will naturally disappoint her. She will be resentful towards me, and I will resent her as well. If she says, Hanan, I need more affection, no problem, but what does it mean? I want to boil it down to specific behavioral things. I want it to be so specific that I want her to literally say, when you get home, the first thing you do is you come give me a hug, hold me for 30 seconds. Perfect. When you're specific, there's no room for misinterpretation or miscommunication. We understand each other. Now, the problem again is when I don't give my wife what she needs, I don't fulfill her need, then she resents me. Here's another interesting one to me. Whenever you don't give someone what they need, they resent you. But here's an interesting one. The moment you give them what they don't need, they resent you too. So the moment you give them what they don't need, they resent you too. So I'll give you an analogy. Imagine you've just had a 7-course meal, you stuffed and you can't think of food. Now I'm a slave in the kitchen for 7 hours making you the most incredible burger you've ever had, and I shove the burger down your throat. Naturally, you're going to resent me because I fed you with something that you did not need. Now I'm going to resent you too because how come you don't appreciate me slaving in the kitchen for so long? Now, again, a relationship is based on healthy communication. So needing space in a relationship is completely appropriate. Completely appropriate. Now, how much space you need in a relationship is negotiated in the relationship. Some people have the temperament that they need more space. They recharge literally on their own most of the time. Some people need less space. And we all need space. We all need to recover and get calibrated with our friends, with our families, with our work colleagues, with other people, not just our partners. That's why if you take two of the healthiest relationships and you put them in a room for too long, then explosion. Conflict starts to come up. Because you need to find your separation and you need to find your space and your comfort with other people too. So to answer your question is, should you be asking for space? Absolutely. But the way I want you to ask for space is, one, obviously with kindness and respect, but two, be specific of what that means. Because you, if you turn to your partner and say, I need space, that is airy-fairy nonsense. It doesn't mean anything. What does it mean? Does it mean that I mustn't see you today? Does it mean that I mustn't speak to you today? Does it mean that I mustn't speak to you for a week? Does it mean that I mustn't answer your call? Does it mean that I mustn't call you? So, and a lot of times, by the way, to me, that when we ask for things, we're not actually sure of what we're asking for. Yeah. So when you ask your partner for space, you're like, I think I know what that means, but I'm not actually sure exactly. And if you don't know what that means, can you imagine what your, how confused your partner is? So before you actually ask for it, know exactly what you're looking for and ask for it in specific terms. And you can, and that you can negotiate in the relationship.
Sure.
Thank you.
That's such a, I'm really fascinated. You sometimes bring up these things, Doc, and I think, well, that seems so obvious, but why haven't I heard it before? Like this thing around, if you get what you don't need, you can be resentful. You know,
for sure.
We often think, well, you know, if someone doesn't need something, but you give it to them anyway, well, they'll be grateful and we'll just move on. They won't be as grateful as the thing they need. But actually, you're right. Like they'll become resentful.
Completely. Completely. Because we're feeding them with something that they already have. If I give you, it's like we give our kids, you know, presents that they already have. We give them another, I don't know, jersey or another. Then they don't want it. And we're wondering why they're not as thankful as they should be. Uh-huh. Nobody should be thankful.
Right.
You should just be wise enough to be able to figure out exactly what the other person needs. And a better one, communicate and figure it out in the conversation.
No, that's handy. Do you know what you want when you want some space? I mean, are we getting into the specifics here? Because, for example, I'm one of those people, like Dr. Hanan says, who really, I like to recharge on my own. I like a lot of space. I live on my own. When I want to see people, I'll invite them or I'll go and see them.
Yeah. No, because, you know, when you live a life like ours where we are run by calendar, you know, we put everything in the calendar because there are three different kids with three individual needs. Then there's a household. Then there's us. And I just feel like I need to unplug because I'm answerable to too many people. And then you have this person who needs you, needs you, needs you. And I'm going, actually, I want a break. I want to break structure because as long as I'm in our space, I have to live and color within the lines. So I want to be left alone to just breathe.
Okay, so let me ask you. What does it mean? So let's say I'm your partner. Okay, so you say to me, I need space. And I say to you, okay, cool. No problem. But what does it mean?
So it means for the next 3 days, don't schedule what I'm doing. Know that I'm just not available. I may be in the house, I may be out of the house, but it's not going to be in the diary. You're not going to be able to check what I'm doing at 2 p.m. I literally want to free fall for 3 days because living on a schedule, I feel like I'm more tense now because I'm living on a schedule. And it just, look, the schedule is important because then when you deviate, you can see you've deviated and you know where to go back. But sometimes I feel like, leave me alone. I want to just go. I'm going to go out. I might go, you know, to a spa. I might go painting, but I'm going to do it by myself. And it's not going to be in the calendar. I'm not going to specify what I'm doing. Because usually the problem and the tension comes with, but I didn't know that's what you're doing. I didn't know you're going to be partying at 10. You didn't put it in the diary. And I go, yeah, I didn't put it in the diary because this is an easy day. And I figured today I'm going to just let, I'm going to zen live for a day. You know what I mean?
Okay, so I'm your partner, right? So I'm going to say to you, okay, so what I'm hearing you say is that for the next 3 days, I'm not going to check up on you. You can do whatever you want. You're not going to be accountable to me. I'm not going to phone you, see where you're doing, what you're doing, how you're doing. So there's Monday, but so it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. On Thursday, we return back to normal, and now we can be accountable to each other. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Regular programming on Thursday.
Lovely. Great. That's sure. Communication. And by the way, the truth is that you have a partner. You have a partner that might say to you, can we negotiate that? So I know you want 3 days. Can we do 2 days as an example? Can we start rescheduling on Wednesday? And that's what a give or take in a relationship is. And you go, you know what? I think that's fair. I think that's fair. Let's get back to rescheduling or, you know, normal life on Wednesday. And that's what good communication is. But that's excellent because now I know as your partner, I know exactly what you expect from me. It's not up for you know, general interpretation. I know exactly. So until Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm going to leave you alone. You're not going to be accountable. We're not going to make contact. Where are you? What are you doing? How are you doing? I'm going to let you be. Thursday morning, we wake up and we restart life again.
Right.
Lovely.
But, okay. So does it never become about them? Because my issue is that going, so in that 3 days, do we get a date night? And you're like, because you understand I'm going, I want to go have fun. And I do, I think as a person, I worry about what the other person's thinking I'm saying about them. So I also do worry about him hearing, I can't have fun with you. I'm going to go have fun by myself.
Yeah. But the truth is, you have hopefully a partner that's an adult and a mature communicator too. And he says, listen, these 3 days are not working for me. Can we negotiate that? Or you know what? Can you, I'll let you be and I'll let you do, you're not accountable to me, but maybe in the evenings you can catch up with me and let me know what you're doing and where you are. Is that fair? So that during the day, you're on your own, you're doing your own thing, but in the evenings, catch up with me. Or you have a partner that says, I'm good to go, but listen, I'm also going to do my own thing. Then I'm not accountable to you either. So until Thursday, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to be with my life. I'm going to be with my friends. Please don't check in with me because I also want that break. So you negotiate that in the relationship, which is right or wrong, that's negotiated.
Nice.
Yeah. Doc, we've got to talk at some point. I think we've got next week still and maybe even one more week after that where we've got to talk about these things that people are going to have to put up with now for the holidays, you know, family. I mean, there's a lot of stress and tension and anxiety and difficulty for people, especially the big family gatherings, massive pressure. And we've got to find a way to get through all of this.
No, for sure. Especially these times, you know, depression is through the roof. Anxiety is through the roof. Family dynamics, you put, as I said, too many people in a room. There's so many dynamics and so many needs and wants and likes and expectations. So conflict is naturally going to come up. And you got to learn how to actually navigate these relationships to make sure that everybody kind of dances nicely around the table.
It's like an emotional blackmail holiday. Like, honestly, because I feel I've had that internal conversation with myself of how often are you doing this because you think you have to, and how much do you really want to do this? You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot.
For sure. But you know what, Tumi, I want to just highlight something quite interesting that you said, and I think it will help everybody, where so many times in a relationship, whether between partners or between family members, we feel incredibly guilty. Feel bad for the other person. So when we feel guilty, we actually don't speak up because we feel guilty for the other person, or we feel that we might upset the other person. The other person might be offended on some level, or we're not satisfied because we're literally raised from age zero to look after everybody else's needs. And being selfish has become like almost like a swear word. We just don't give ourselves permission to look after our needs. I want you to take guilt out of the picture and act as if you are dealing with another mature communicator. And let them speak up in terms of what they need. But you look after your needs. You speak your needs. You let them look after their needs. You let them speak their needs. And you negotiate that in maturely in a relationship. To make a relationship work, there has to be communication, compromise, and maturity. And if you're able to communicate, you're able to compromise, and you do so with kindness and maturity, you two people can get creative enough and always come up with a solution that works for everybody. I always tell couples, you want to leave a conversation with a balloon each. If the one partner leaves with two balloons and the other partner leaves with nothing, resentment is going to build. So yeah, the other partner wins, but the relationship loses. You want to leave a conversation, a communication with two balloons each. So if you've given something, but you've gained something from the conversation. I always tell partners, look after your needs, let the other person look after their needs, communicate, make sure that you leave with something.
Beautiful. All right, well, that is the best way to end this little session for this morning. But we'll catch up again, Dr. Hanan, next week. And Dumi and I will carry on, hopefully, entertaining you, keeping you busy, keeping you informed, and all the rest of it in the next hour. It's still coming up, allcliffcentral.com, in the next hour at 7 o'clock. Thanks, Doc. Cheers. We'll see him soon. All right, we'll be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. Cliffcentral.com.